Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. You forgot. We can move our hands, and we can say hi with our hands.
Oh, that's true. And also joining us this week is our highly anticipated, long-awaited guest, Mark the Terpster Turbin.
Yay! Hello. How you doing?
Pretty fantastic.
I've had a long journey. There is no fire. I think you need to change that. I can pull a chair up against something, but not a fire. There's no fire. So it's, you need like a
in your
you
mind, like another, Terpster,
you
in your
another
mind.
Video. You need a separate person who's just filming a fire, and they can be this other thing in there, and that would be brilliant.
It's like the Yule Log channel.
Yeah, exactly. And then some people might just tune in for the fire, others for the content. But either way, they're tuning in, and that's what you want. So I think that's really cool. But anyway, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yes, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So do you want to just give the listeners a quick, you know, who are you? Because we actually have some listeners who don't know who you are.
I don't care about them, to be honest with you. If they don't know who I am, then that's their loss, really. I am me, and I am the T. So you can follow me on Twitter at @the_T. And find out all about me, which isn't actually that much, quite strangely. But yeah, it's good. It's good.
So before we get going here, we just wanted to quickly mention our Extra Life campaign, which is doing okay. Well, I am doing okay. I am at 60% of my personal goal for donations, which is fun. But our team is only at 26%, and there's only a week left, which makes me a little bit sad.
What is it? So what are you guys doing? I don't know about this.
Ryan, why don't you take it
away? Well, the Extra Life event, not related to the Scott Johnson comic, but it's a 24-hour gaming marathon for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's an excuse to play video games for 24 hours, and people will donate to the cause through the website. And as Jocelyn mentioned, she's 60% of her goal. So, I mean, get her to 100% and then start giving money to other people on the team. And Rick is pretty close to you, Jocelyn, so you better watch your back.
Not close enough.
But yeah, we still have a week before it starts. It's on the 20th, and we're starting at 9 a.m., and we're going to do some live broadcasts all day long.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. What games are you playing?
That's a great question. Confirmed is Panda WoW Dungeon Run. That'll be fun.
Nice. Okay, cool.
And I'm going to be playing Slender and Amnesia at around 1 a.m. my time.
The late ones. I like that.
So exactly. It'll be
tune in.
Exactly. And if you ever want to watch a grown man scream, pretty sure you'll be able to.
3 a.m. next Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. And Mass Effect multiplayer. I don't know if you played the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer there, Terpster.
Yeah, but, it's good. I used to like those, actually. They were some fun little kind of little maps, I guess, little battlegrounds. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were good. They were good.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to be. And we're actually, Jocelyn, you've been talking to some people. We're going to have some special guests for that as well.
Yeah, we actually have Star Mike on Twitter, who is the co-host of This Week in Trek, and Hakito, who is from AppSloppy. He's going to be joining us for some Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. Plus, we have some listeners and some other people on the team, so I think we're kind of going to rotate because you're going to be live streaming your match. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have too many people because you can only have 4 people per match. So we're going to kind of all rotate in and out of the live stream, but otherwise we're going to be playing off on our own. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. I think we have Torchlight 2 with Swick in the morning too. Swick does your show notes, Terpster, for the instance.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so he's gonna be joining us. And then what else have we got going on? I can't remember what else we're playing.
Torchlight 2 is a good game though. Yeah. So that's good to hear that's being represented.
Yeah, I don't actually have it yet, so I'm pretty much
it. It's good.
Well, I'm going to have to for next Saturday.
Yeah. It's like $20. It's a steal.
Mm.
Very true. So that pretty much is what we're doing for Extra Life. So if you guys want to help out and donate, then you can go to bit.ly/TGI Extra Life. And it's actually capital T, capital G, capital I, capital E. And then capital L. No, you have to capitalize it. It doesn't work if it's lowercase.
Really?
I tried it the other day.
I could have sworn that I made it all lowercase because no. It was different capitalized.
Yeah, so no, the capitalized link works. So,
okay.
Or you can just go to the Extra Life page and search for myself, because, you know, obviously everyone wants to donate to me.
And you can
search for the Gamers Inn team, either way.
I have all the links up on gamersinpodcast.com/extralife, and that should work. Has everything, even like a a little rough schedule too, and some links to accounts and stuff.
Fantastic. So why don't we jump in now into Mists of Pandaria, because Ryan and I actually haven't been talking about Mists at all for the last couple of weeks, because we've been waiting for you.
There you go. Okay, that's good. No pressure. No pressure on me.
None at all. None at all. So basically, we have three different levels of WoW players here, which I think is really interesting, because I just started playing back in, I guess, February.
Yeah, so we categorize you as a noob.
Yes,
a
noob. Yes, thanks. Yes.
That's what I've been saying.
I was trying to avoid the word, but thanks very much.
That's all right. No, just helping the listeners follow along.
Yeah, that's cool. Great. And then Ryan was playing for a long time and had, I think you have a level 85 something, right?
Yeah, I actually raced my warlock Crassus through to 85 and hit, I think I dinged 85 like a couple days ago.
So, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Because Ryan was out of it for a while, so he just started back up again.
That's the thing. You never quit World of Warcraft. You just stop playing for an unknown period of time.
Exactly.
And then you will always get brought back in. There will always be something that will make you return to Azeroth. It's just a lovely place. It's a lovely place.
Well, I lost myself there for a few days.
It happens.
Yeah.
So then we also have the T, who is our resident WoW expert for this episode, who is, I think, dinged 90, I believe.
I'm a level 90 Orc Shaman on the AIE Earthen Ring server. It's good. It's massive, actually. Once you cap out in Mists, all of a sudden you fill up your quest log with just all these different factions, and you've got to wrap up with all these different guys, all these fun little storylines running on. It's beautiful. It's the best WoW there has ever been. So it's a good time to start, actually. It's a great time to be a noob. So you should be should really embrace that, because you get to enjoy the best World of Warcraft there's ever been.
Well, I'm finding it really hard, because right now my character is a Blood Elf Hunter, and she's level 43. And getting through like level 40 and just I don't even want to play it anymore, because it's so boring. It's the same thing over and over. It's go kill 10 of these and then go find 7 of those.
That's MMOs. if you want variety, go outside, live life.
No.
That'll be weird and scary. Now that's the beauty of it, is you got to get in and find your rotation, and you just kind of get in a little thing where each time you pull a mob, you're trying to nail that rotation that little bit better, or maybe make sure you get that ability in, or you critted on that time. Wow, that was exciting. Let's try this next guy. Oh, I'm on low health, I better run away. You got to mix it up, obviously, but I don't know. You should try doing the dungeon finder and just queue up all the time. So while you're playing through, you're in the queue, and then as soon as that group pops, you can go and do a dungeon. It breaks the pace up. You get a load of XP, load of cool items, if you're struggling, check your gear as well. It might be that you've got, like, you haven't upgraded your gear in a while, and so.
Oh no! See, I have the absolute opposite problem. Everything that I'm going up against isn't hard enough, so I'm like one-shotting things. I'm a hunter.
Oh, you're a hunter, are you? Oh, in that case, I don't know. Yeah, hunters.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the dungeon finder, because I was actually getting burnt out on my level 80 character, and while I was in the Kata zones, I basically raced through 80 to 85 just by queuing into the dungeon finders, and it, as opposed to when I was playing before, where to get a dungeon you had to go looking for 2 DPS and then get a summoning stone and then have to hearth back and get back to your quest log, basically you get into the quest finder or the dungeon finder, it teleports you to the dungeon, and when you finish, it teleports you exactly right back to where you were questing. So it's just super easy.
Ryan, you totally went all robot and then just like
silent. I wasn't sure if that was me. And I was just going to politely nod. I was just going to be like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no, very true.
Okay.
But it's so good. You sounded a great robot. It was a good robot.
Repeat everything you just said, please.
All right. Well, I'll try to capture the majesty of what I said. Dungeon Finder is great, because it just, you queue up, you go in, you do the dungeon, and it teleports you right back to where you're requesting. It made leveling super quick. I dinged 85 in 2 days of just playing. Like, I think it was like 6 hours the first day and then a whole day the next time. Because I was off the day, so I was just like, yeah, I'm going to get to 85 so I can actually talk about
this. The best thing
about
being ill is World of Warcraft.
Exactly.
That is hands down the best thing. Like, every time I'm sick, I am obviously a little bit upset because I'm ill, but then I'm also a little bit excited because I know that's basically a day of unadulterated World of Warcraft, and that's beautiful. But yeah, they've got so many things, and now with scenarios as well, once you cap out at 90, you can queue for scenarios, and those are even shorter queues. And they're three-man group questy dungeon-type experiences where you don't even select a role. It's just three players. So they just need three players, and boom, that's a group, and you go. And they're really fun. They give good, you know, kind of items and rewards. And again, just mix it up a bit. So stick in there. Stick in there, because you will. It will pay dividends in the end. You will love it.
Well, and I think I will. I think it's just I'm having trouble getting through that just kind of middle section. But we ran a first dungeon was like a week and a half ago, the first dungeon I ever did. Mm-hmm. So and it was.
How did you do? Fun. Were you any good?
I was okay. Yeah. I played with AIA people who all knew who I was. So okay. they were very, very
They were
good
very
to me.
Nice and understanding. Exactly. Yeah. That's
and
what
it was
happens.
Just like after every we had to like every guy that we killed, they were like, okay, Jocelyn, now go stand over here and push this button and use this trap, and I was like, okay.
Thank you. Yay. Yeah, that's
I was like,
what
I'm
happens.
Never gonna remember all of this.
No. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, though. Today, we got an email through to the Instance email account saying, like, WTF Terpster, I was playing, and I was standing right next to the Ghost Iron node, and all of a sudden, you just come along, mine the Ghost Iron, and, you know, you like, helped me kill the mob I was killing, and then just flew off. And they were like, WTF. And they were saying, like, if I was a miner, I would have been pissed off. But it was, you know, you've got to be careful. You know, if people know who you are in World of Warcraft, you've got to act accordingly. You've got to always be a very courteous person. So I'm thinking of getting a name change now. But, yeah,
you,
I don't know.
You actually are, like, Terpster in World of Warcraft, right? Like
On AIE, yeah. On certain servers, I can't get it. Which really annoys me because
that's
it means
really annoying.
There's other people out there called Terpster, and I've just had a shield put in the game. And what I really want to know is, do they think it's for them? Like, do the other ones, if they don't know me, do they think like Blizzard's put a Terpster's son on a shield? Is this because of me? And it's like, yeah, and then they're, you know, oh, that's my item. I'm like, no, it's my item. You know, so hands off. But
so you just want all the Terpster shields in the game?
I would like
collect them all.
I would like to collect them all, like Pandokemon. I will collect all infinite amount of randomly generated shields. That would be great.
So you actually have to be a high level to get that shield, right? Like
it's a level. No, it's a level 85 item. And as a hunter,
so
you wouldn't
yes,
be able
that
to
would
do
be
it.
High.
But yeah, it's a very good level 85 weapon. It will take you all the way to 90. It's a beautiful, beautiful shield. Really nice, really nice.
Is it a
random
drop?
They did well. It is it's a random world drop. It's bind on equip, so you can find it in the auction house. On AIE server, actually, it goes for quite a bit. On other servers, no one really cares. So, it depends.
So have you, I know I've leveled a panda. Ryan, have you leveled a panda at all?
I got him through the first area, and it's funny that you mentioned.
Where did you pick?
Oh,
did you go Horde or Alliance?
Horde. Yeah, okay. Horde, come on.
Well, I mean, I figure if I'm going to keep playing, I'll probably... Well, actually, my panda is on AIE server, so...
Cool.
I had to choose Horde or else I'd be in the minority. And
yeah, otherwise you would have a horrible time.
Exactly.
It's not an Alliance server, definitely.
No. But similar to what Jocelyn was saying about feeling burnt out, like, I haven't leveled a guy from 0 to 80 in years. So playing my panda through Ashara, which might have been my first mistake... it's just it's kind of boring, and you're right, it's like it's an MMO, that's how they work. So I don't know if I'm gonna take him anywhere past that, but
yeah, it's tough. The thing is, the easiest way to do it, and I do it this way, and you shouldn't because it's stupid, but I basically buy another World of Warcraft account and then do a recruit a friend with myself, and that way you get triple XP on everything, so it's faster, and you can then use the other account to grant levels to another role, and so you can get multiple high level characters, and it obviously costs money, and it requires a little bit more coordination when you're juggling multiple accounts, but in a nutshell, it is the quickest and easiest way to get an alt up on a new server if you don't want to get a transfer or you don't want to move or do any other things. Yeah, there's lots of different things. They've squashed the leveling XP as well, so it doesn't require quite as much effort as it did before Mists, but still, you know, going, you know, from now from 1 to 90 is still quite a journey, so you gotta find a class you love, or at least people you love playing with. And if you're leveling up with friends together, normally that makes it a much more enjoyable experience. Except if you've chosen the same professions and they're gathering skills, in which case you're like, whoa, hang on, you, come on, off the peace bloom, that's mine, help me kill this one, then that's my peace bloom, and then next peace bloom you can have, okay? Because otherwise, and I've fallen out a few times with friends over peace bloom, which is quite ironic, really, for a flower named that. But yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, no, that's a good point. And I don't know, have you played a monk, obviously. We've all played monks. Putting the panda aside for now, like, the monk class is very interesting because it feels like you're constantly hitting buttons. Like, there's no auto attack, right?
There is, I think, now, isn't there? I'm not sure. I think they put that back in.
Yeah, there's an auto attack, but it's, you know, it doesn't really do much.
But yeah, exactly. You are always mashing buttons, but I mean, to be honest with you, I'm always mashing buttons anyway. So yeah, my rotation is just set up. I just kind of just mash on my keyboard. And if it's off cooldown, it's casting, and that's basically it. Right. Yeah, it depends. People have different styles and different ways. I mean, for tanking, for me, as long as I'm not standing in fire, I'm fine just, you know, mashing, and I could be, you know, reading something else on a different screen. It really depends, you know, what you're playing and what you're playing against.
But monks are cool. The one thing I don't necessarily like about the panda so much is that, like, they're all, like, close. Like, you have to be in a very close melee range kind of a situation. So I find that because now my monk is a tank, because I never played a tank before. So I'm in there, you know, doing my tanky thing. And then everybody else is all in the same spot, too, because everything that they do is punches and kicks. Like, all the DPS people are punching and kicking. So I'm just like, if you're playing with a bunch of pandas, then everybody's in the way, and you can't actually see what's going on, which is one thing I really like about a lot of the new WoW stuff, is all the animations, everything else. You can't really see it because everybody's in your way. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you could be like a Pandaren hunter or something like that. That you would stand back from the crowd then and be able to do your normal range thing. And once you get to the kind of the high end stuff, it's going to be big monsters you're fighting. So they should be kind of around the back, and you as a tank should be the only one in the front. Stick with it. Just keep the faith. It will come true in the end.
So I know I've done some pet battle stuff. Ryan, have you done any battling of the pets?
Yeah, I have a full team now. I kind of got it far enough to get a full team in there. Three people. I got a Mercabolo, and then the lucky Quilling Cub from the collector's edition, and then a Corehound pup. I don't know where I got that, but
that would be from your authenticator. So it shows that you are security conscious. So well done. That's good.
Well, thank you. But I don't use him very much. My Mercabolo kind of owns everybody.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You do like trainer battles. It's exactly like Pokemon. And now Nintendo they don't have to worry about doing a Pokemon MMO.
They never would.
No, they wouldn't.
That's the frustrating thing, is they've been making the same game for about 15 years. And each time it comes out on a new kind of DS, it's the same game. It doesn't even look necessarily any better, and it really angers me. But that's why I'm really happy that Blizzard's done this, and they are already refining it. In the next patch, there's going to be a whole kind of extra kind of ton of features and items all built around the pet battles, trying to make that experience even better. And you can catch up to 650 pets. You can have a team of all the same pets, or you can swap out one so you're not having to heal as much when you're out and about. There's just a huge ton of stuff to do. I haven't done much Pendokemon at all on the live realms. I've got two battle slots. I haven't unlocked the third. And the reason is because you have to do it in the lower level zones. And so I started doing it when I was in Orgrimmar, and then I went off to Pandaria. And then I got there, and all the mobs were like, all the pets were like level 20 plus. And so I was there with my first like level 2. I think I used my mini Thor from StarCraft 2. Because I was like, yeah, come on, he's got guns. You know, we're going to be sorted here. This is going to be easy. and just got absolutely owned straight away. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm not doing that then. So it will be something I get to, but there's so much to do that I do feel a little bit wasteful playing Pandocomon when I've got, you know, all these factions to rep up with and all these cool cinematic moments to play through. But I will do eventually, I'm sure. And it is great. It's nice to have a little bit of innovation in the pet battling, owning world. Right. So yeah, it should be good.
Well, I mean, I was doing Brewfest quests, trying to get my, I've got 3 achievements left before I get my long, strange trip.
Mount, oh, nice, nice.
And I'm not going to be able to get it because I need an 89, I need an 89 character to do the scenario. I guess.
Yes, yeah, to do Corum Diablo. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm
when
a
does it finish?
Are today.
We... Oh, is it today?
It's almost done, yeah.
Yeah.
Bum. Okay, yeah, yeah, that's that sucks.
But well, I'll be around next year, so I figure
next
I'll just loop around, right? Again, yeah. For the third year in a row. But
an even longer stranger trip it's been for you. Yeah.
So
I did it. I did it the first year, when the long strange trip, and it became really quite distracting, and it was like, you know, Valentine's Day rocked up, love was in the air. I was neglecting my real life partner because I was thinking, screw that. I need to make sure I do the in-game achievements because, you know, I've been working a year for this. Yeah. You know, I don't care about that. I want this.
There's a mount joke in there somewhere, but I'm not going to.
There is somewhere. I'm not quite sure. But
I can't think of it.
You can get the love rocket. You can get the pink love rocket as well from Lovers in the Air, which is I'm not sure if there's a joke in there either.
Probably
actually
not.
But
Blizzard's not very funny.
No but yeah, it's like I said, it can get a bit much, so it's good that you've now got that. You can't finish it for another year anyway, so take the pressure off on the next few you've got to do.
Yeah, I'll do a little bit of Halloween stuff. Yeah, I'm not gonna go crazy
but that's good, and you might enjoy it more because of it, so that's
I think
good.
So and
cool
in terms of pets, like, you guys both don't have your third slot unlocked, right? So can you do like a find a pet battle, or do you need all 3 slots to do that?
I don't think I can find a pet battle.
Three. Yeah, oh, okay. I think you need all 3, yeah.
I get the little paws on the map, but I don't actually
Well, I quickly tried it. It's like Dungeon Finder, and you basically hit this find battle button, and it starts a Pokemon battle, and just against a random person on the server, it's great. I kicked his ass.
Oh, so it's PvP, not...
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, but with
your
pets.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just... I thought it was all just the, well, yeah, PvP, pet versus pet. Jeez,
ah,
come on.
There you go. Yeah. I like it.
But no, I didn't realize that it was actually like against other people. I thought it was just against environmental pets. So that's awesome.
No, yeah, for a side thing, they've really put a lot of work into this, and it's great.
I mean, it's basically this expansion's profession. So they did like Inscription and stuff like that in the past, and those are, you know, big game changing things that affect, you know, gear and itemization and all of that. And then they with pet battles, they've actually kind of put even more into it than they normally would. And it has made a whole extra game for people that might not even like World of Warcraft, but then they will see the pet battles and be like, I love Pokemon. You know, wow, this is like Pokemon that I've wanted for ages. You know, here I am, I'm walking around, I see my pets, you know, they're all in 3D. You know, that's what I want, you know, so it's good. And you can go out and find rare pets, and you can get an ad on it. It'll tell you if they're like epic or rare or uncommon level pets. And in the new patch, you'll just be able to get stones, which you can upgrade your pets to different rarities, which will just make them better. So they're adding loads of depth to it as well. And that will carry on, I'm sure, throughout the expansion cycles. Cool. So, yeah, good time. So, good times.
So there are evolution stones is what you're saying.
Kind of, yeah, exactly, yeah. So it won't change the appearance of your pet, but it will change its base stats. So it will make it an epic level rat, for example. It'll still be a rat, but it'll be a really epic one. So that's cool.
Neat.
In terms of the pet battles, I found that with the, like, when I was in them and doing them, it's kind of, it changes the camera angle, right? So you're looking at it from the side. But then the animations, there was just, like, these, like, red scratches going across the battle and stuff. And I was like, well, I don't know if I like that. It was kind of just like, if I want to see my pet battling, I don't want it covered up with some weird animation.
Oh, you don't like the effects?
Yeah, no, I don't like the effects. Is it like, is that a graphic option you can turn off, or is that just that's just how it is and I just
know.
Have to deal with it?
Maybe if you turned your graphic settings all the way down, they might not display them, but then it wouldn't look terribly great anyway. But Pokemon had that. You know, you had the
weird... I've never actually played a Pokemon game.
Okay, what? Well, you know, yeah.
Get on that,
I think
Jackson.
That's, yeah, exactly. You should. You should. Well, you don't have to now. You can just play World of Warcraft.
Oh,
but what they need to do is make a mobile version, and then you would truly never have to play Pokemon again.
That would actually, great. I would definitely do that if I could have a game where, like, if I could sit there and play on my iPhone, which, you know, well, maybe not because my iPhone sucks right now, but when I get the new one in December, then I would sit and play on my iPhone, and that would be fantastic.
Exactly. It would be beautiful.
Okay, are you seriously flashing your iPhone 5 at me right now?
You haven't got one of these?
No, okay.
Oh, sorry.
Because mine really works really well. That's what I like about my iPhone 5. It's just how well it works.
It opens and runs apps and everything.
Oh, it does it all.
But honestly, both of you, like, I hate you both right now.
This is great. We should have Tracy on more often.
I can't hear you because of how awesome my phone is.
Yeah, my 3GS doesn't even have a power button anymore. So.
Wow. 3GS. Wow. I remember the 3GS. Oh, it was a good phone. Yeah, it wasn't.
Quiet, Deckard. Anyway, so I think, do you guys have anything else to say about Myst before we move on here? Or?
Two thumbs up. Really good. Loving it.
I would quickly like to talk about, like, 85-plus content, because we actually haven't talked
about
that.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I've totally monopolized it with my noobness. Sorry.
What is this 85 you talk of? How high does it go?
I'm never going to get to the end.
Your impression of Jocelyn's much better than mine, I gotta say.
It's pretty spot on. It's pretty spot on.
Exactly. I don't like this ganging up on Jocelyn thing.
I don't like this ganging up. No, I'm not going to do it. But anyway, yeah.
Too soon.
Yeah,
85 plus. Like I said, I raced to 85 and just jumped into Myst last night. And the cinematics, obviously people are talking about that. The in-game cinematics are great. Mm. Grom, Hellscream or whatever, like crushing that boat and yelling is wonderful.
Oh yeah, Garrosh. He's Grom's a bit of a, yeah, it was his dad.
Right.
That's fine. But yeah. He's a bit of a nemesis this time around. He's a scary guy. So it'd be good.
He's an ass. And that's what I feel like in Myst of Pandaria. Like, you're there, you're waging war against the Alliance on this unknown land, and there's just these pandas all over, and they're like, you need to leave. You are ruining our place. And it made me feel like such an asshole. So I don't know.
Because I was the same way. I was like, there's some ghost dying over there. And that was it. You know, instantly I was like, I'm going to go mine something. Oh, I'm going to help you out. What's that? Oh, the Shah. Come on then, Shah. Let's do this. Let's dance. You know, and before I knew it, I was saving the world. And I was back to it. And they were saying like, oh, you're the greatest. I'm like, yeah, I'm the greatest. Thank you. Stereotypical Asian people who are pandas. it really good. It's really like the Valley of the Four Winds that will follow up after Jade Forest. Mm-hmm. That zone, you meet Chen Stormstout at the beginning of it, and you basically get taken through the whole zone with him, and you're meeting all these kind of really cool characters along the way, and there's great great cutscenes and funny bits and emotive bits, and it all accumulates at the end with a big group where you all come together and all the people you've interacted along the way, and you do feel like you have done good and you have actually helped do good there and save them, and together, you know, it's good. So I think, yeah, after you get through the second zone, that should hopefully dissipate a little bit, and then you get onto like the later zones and you're like, you need me here, okay? Pandas, don't give me that, because you know you need me at the moment, so I'm gonna go kill this Shah over here, and then we'll carry on this conversation after I've saved your ass again. You know, it's good.
I had a quick question for you, actually, because being a WoW expert and playing through Cataclysm...
WoW expert.
Like, I had a roommate that I could just go to and ask. He was very invested in WoW, and he's like, how does this work? And he'd spit out a 20-minute
conversation. You got to check the coefficient of the spell power on Pyroblast. Mm-hmm. It's not as high as... Yeah, exactly. I don't know any of that.
But I wanted to say about when I was going through Cataclysm... I did like two or three zones. Like, I did Vazgir or whatever, and then Deepholm, mm-hmm. and then I was 85. Now, and I know I missed like Uldum and Twilight, whatever.
Highlands, yeah.
Yeah, and is that because of the change in experience rackets?
Slightly. They have again condensed it slightly. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, yeah. I mean, you probably. You still wouldn't have to. I think there were five zones, and you could cap out on three.
Okay.
And what they did is Vashir and Hyjal were both the same level range. And the idea there was you could go either way, and that was under the belief that it reduced server load on launch, you know, instead of having the whole server in one zone to begin with. But what they've done with Pandaria is, with phasing and other technology like that, they've been able to manage that much more effectively. So the Jade Forest, everyone starts in the same place. Again, still, you'll probably cap out after three zones for, you know, and then, but there's more than enough stuff to do. Okay. So, yeah, it's really good fun.
Yeah. And there's a lot of like story, I'm hearing a lot about Pandaria having like heavy story quests. And, mm-hmm. When I was capped at 85, I was kind of exploring the Thrall wants you to go here quest at the, mm-hmm. like the board thing. And I did the quest where Thrall gets split into four, like elements.
Yeah, and the elements. Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was really great. It's probably one of the first times in WoW that I was actually like really interested in the story and wanted to get through the whole quest, even though I was already 85. So is there that sort of motivation when you hit 90, like heavy story stuff to keep you doing quests?
Yes, definitely, okay, definitely. Good. And Blizzard's got this whole thing of show, don't tell. And so there's less talking and there's more stuff happening. So rather than saying, oh no, the Shah are broken loose, you just go into a zone and there's just, you know, giant monsters everywhere raving. You see conflicts going on between NPCs, and yeah, you just feel like, you know, stuff started to get really heavy. Then you've got some really kind of cool content coming up as well, with the faction leaders and how they're relating to each other, and that's going to really kind of play out even better. So yeah, it's all good. It's cool. Very, very fun.
Awesome.
All right, then. I think that wraps up our WoW talk. Although all that stuff that I have no idea what you guys were just talking about, that was so interesting.
That's fine. So in a year, when you cap out at 90, go download this episode again, and then you'll be like, oh, yeah. Oh, is that what they were talking about? Well, actually, that's wrong. You know, because you'll be an expert by then. Yeah.
So oh, I totally will be.
Yeah,
totally
you'll be able to call us out on all the wrong bits. But yeah, that's good.
So that brings us to our quickfire news section. So first up, we have release dates galore. Episode 4 of The Walking Dead came out October 10th and seems to be just as awesome as parts 1 through 3. Angry Birds Star Wars Jumps the Sharks, comes out on November 8th. Mass Effect 3's Omega DLC is rumored to be coming out November 27th. And finally, Guardians of Middle-Earth, which is a multiplayer online battle arena game, comes out to PSN and Xbox Live Arcade December 4th, 2012.
Cool.
And speaking of releases, we have Borderlands 2 getting pirate-themed DLC on October 16th. Gearbox is introducing us to Captain Scarlet and her pirate's booty. The content will have players teaming up with the one-eyed pirate queen on an adventure across the deserts of Pandora. It will cost you $9.99 on its own or $29.99 as part of the season pass, which will include three additional pieces of DLC. And if there isn't a joke about Claptrap putting on an eye patch, I want my money back.
Console sale numbers are in, and the winner is the Xbox 360. Although Nintendo reported strong 3DS sales, Xbox 360 still commands 49% of the market share. It'll be interesting to see what happens when Nintendo launches the Wii U next month.
Nothing. No one's going to buy it. Honestly, have you played one?
I agree.
I played one. It was a Wii. Someone, like, the other person had the U bit. They had, like, the tablet, and I was just there on Mario, and I was like, this is the Wii. Why have I paid an extra? No, this is what? So anyway, sorry, carry on.
We all know that one person is going to buy it at the very least.
Someone will.
Me.
Ryan's already pre-ordered.
Well, and that'll be fine because you'll have the Wii U controller right. Bit. I'll come around to play and you'll be like, here you go, Terps, and then you just give me a little Wiimote. And I'll be like, oh, I remember this, yeah. Oh, this is great, yay. Oh. You're like, hang on, I want to put some platforms for you to jump on with my touchscreen. I'll be like, oh, I'm just going to press B like I have for the past year. Great. Anyway,
We're all looking forward to that. Speaking of Nintendo, Nintendo backpedaling on 1080p Mario for Wii U launch. On the official website for New Super Mario Bros. U, Nintendo claimed that players would experience Mario like never before in full 1080 HD. As fans rejoiced, it took one evening for Nintendo to slash dreams, changing the text to read in high definition. So far, the game has been demoed in 720p, although 1080p would be perfectly feasible. However, a change like this may mean more waiting for those Nintendo fans looking to play the famous plumber in true 1080p high definition.
Really, though? I mean, what's the difference between a 720 Mario and a 1080 mirror.
Really, I don't know, but
he's not like known for his photorealism. I'm not going to look at it and go like, "Oh, you can make out the pores in his skin." No, it's just going to be, "Hey, it's a me, a Mario," and it'll just be, you know, just jumping around. It just won't be. It won't be any need for that. But some people like that, so
some
well
people
done to them.
Would probably have an issue with it. This article seemed to think so.
I want at least 360 more peas in my Mario. Where are my 360 peas? I don't know.
Everyone wants to know. 32 million is a whole lot of players. That's the number of active monthly users playing League of Legends, making it the most played video game in the world. Monthly users combine to play over 1 billion hours of the game. They typically have 3 million concurrent users playing, which is 5 times the number of the top 100 Steam games combined. Holy amazeballs, Batman, that's a lot of gaming.
It's scary.
David Fincher producing Halo 4 launch trailer. The director of Fight Club, The Social Network, and A Girl with a Dragon Tattoo is taking a stab at showcasing a live-action Master Chief. Tim Miller, who was the effects lead on Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, is directing. The trailer titled Scanned will give us a look at the backstory of Chief and will introduce the new threat he will encounter in Halo 4. The trailer runs for 2 minutes and will be premiered on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon on October 18th.
Spoiler, it's totally going to be the Flood.
It says new threat.
It's new threat. It's going to be Covenant Flood. It's going to be like the Forerunner Flood. They've got some tech Flood. Yeah. Or the Flood before the Flood. You know, they were called the Drizzle and they later became the Flood. So... They're not as scary as the Flood, but they could be if you leave them unchecked.
Oh my god! You will use the TV, whatever it is, every day. So says Nintendo. The TV still requires an active cable subscription, though, making it really a glorified TV remote. Nintendo is hoping the TV experience... See, I keep wanting to say TVU. Why didn't they call it TVU?
Because it's TV, so it's just TV. You're just saying TV. But it's I imagine in like Germany, it's the TV, so that would work. That would be good. I'm not sure.
Nintendo is hoping the TV experience will make consumers buy the console, leading to more games being played. I think they've got a little backwards. Generally, you sell a gaming console to game on, but... I'm not Nintendo, so what do I know?
Probably about as much as Nintendo, I would guess. I don't rank them very high in the knowing a lot about stuff states.
I think they just get really lucky.
I think they innovate hardware really well. I think they really don't do that for software ever. So, yeah, oh well. Sad me.
343 isn't ready to show you Master Chief's face. Halo franchise director Frank O'Connor let fans know that 343 would continue the Bungie policy. However, he did say that the funny thing about the Chief is he's actually really well described. If you went down into that line, and he's referring to Eurogamer Expo, and found a nerd with a deep canon Halo t-shirt and said, "Describe the Master Chief to this police sketch artist," that police sketch artist would then produce a perfectly accurate rendering. Now, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but the article does go into details revealed in the prequel novel Fall of Reach. And if you're hungry for more hints to Halo 4's story, be sure to check out the article.
It's good. Have you read any of the books?
I have. I've read a good amount
of them. They're good. I like them. I like Fall of Reach. It's good. And yeah, old Master Chief, old John, he's described, but my ability to picture said accurate description is very poor. I just imagine him looking like me. And I like that.
Well, that's the whole point of it, right? They want you to see yourself behind the visor, and the description is not very appealing.
They could do that with the Wii U because it's got the camera on. It'd be like, you know, Cortana goes like, "Chief, you taking off your helmet?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm taking off my helmet." And you have to hold the Wii U remote in front of you. And as he takes it off, it just takes a picture of your face as it's happening. So then everyone on the screen is like, "Oh my God, oh, it's you." And you'll be like, "Yeah, that's me. Yeah." And Chief is nodding as well, going like, "Yeah, it's me." And that would be amazing. But again, Nintendo closed platform. They're not going to do it on it. Nah. So it's a shame.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. It's good news.
Road to Halo 4. Oops. Oh, sorry. Did you miss me?
This is the Gamers Inn exclusive Road to Halo 4 segment. This week's title is Halo 3 ODST. We will be reviewing one title every 3 weeks until the release of Halo 4, and then we will be reviewing Halo 4 and capping it all off with an interview with 343 Studios developer and my very close friend, Angus McQuarrie, on November 14th. Remember, we will be in full spoiler mode for these discussions, which may include spoilers of other titles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. Watch out. Halo 3 ODST was released for the Xbox 360 in September 2009. Bungie initially conceived it as a side project to produce in the lull between Halo 3 and Reach. During development, the planned expansion grew in scope to that of a full-size game, and the title received generally positive reviews from critics who praised the atmosphere, music, and story approach. However, reviewers were divided on whether the relatively short campaign and included extras were enough to justify the game's $60 price tag. Now, a bit on the story. During the events of the 2004 video game Halo 2, which you both played, the Covenant discover the location of Earth and launch an assault on the city of New Mombasa in Africa. Though the UNSC manages to repel most of the fleet, a large ship hovers over the city, depositing, that's a weird word, an invasion force. The ship eventually retreats via a slipspace jump, creating a massive shockwave. And while the rest of Halo 2's storyline follows the ship to an ancient installation, ODST focuses on the aftermath of the shockwave while the Covenant still occupy the city. So you guys have not played ODST.
Nope.
Do you know anything about it? No,
yeah,
right.
It had Nathan Fillion in, and it had all the Firefly guys in, and I don't know. I literally didn't pick it up because it didn't have the chief in, and that's really sad. Yeah. But it just didn't appeal to me. It didn't appeal to me again because I'm the chief. Right. So like, you know, I don't want to play as like Nathan Fillion. What's that about? You know. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh well, I mean, it's funny you mentioned all the Firefly. Like you got. And it was totally blowing my mind because I had watched a bit of Firefly here with Ashley. That's my girlfriend, Terpser, in case you're,
okay,
you're new,
cool.
Right?
Okay. No, I did know now. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, she isn't a gamer, but I was like, okay, we're going to sit down and watch Firefly and see if you like it. And I was playing...
Did she like it?
A little.
Does she like weed and stuff? Does she like Buffy?
I don't think so.
Ladies like the Buffy.
Well, maybe
the Buffy.
I'll try the Buffy first.
The Buffy.
Exactly, and then you ease her into a bit of Firefly, and before you know it, you've got yourself a nerd on your hands.
That was pretty selfish of me putting the Firefly on her first before the Buffy.
It's you got to warm her up. You got to start out with a Buffy or two, and then maybe slip in a Firefly and see how that goes. Maybe pull out, go for a Dollhouse if it's too much. And then just, do you like the Avengers? Oh, and before you know it,
she did love the Avengers. That's,
there you go.
That's very true.
She liked Dr. Horrible? Dr. Horrible? The ladies like Dr.
Oh,
Horrible?
Oh, she hates singing. I took her to the Muppets,
really?
And she as soon as the singing started, she looks at me and starts laughing, and the entire theater is just staring at us.
But life's a happy song.
I
How
know.
Could she not? Oh, my God.
I sang the whole way home, and she hated me for it, so.
Brilliant. Good. Yeah, but good move, my man. I like that. I like that.
Anyway,
ODST. Back to ODST and Firefly references or something.
But we were playing ODST on the couch, and Ashley's like, that guy sounds super familiar, and I had to look it up. Well, everybody knows Nathan Fillion and Adam Baldwin. You know, it's hard to miss those two. They have a very distinct voice. But Alan Tudyk, the pilot in Firefly.
Yeah, Wash.
Wash.
Yeah.
Wash, thank you. I don't know the names very well, but... he is the pilot in ODST, and the voices... This is actually... the first Halo game where Bungie has really focused on characters and made, like, you're playing humans. And that was one of the most appealing things to me, is that you're playing a human. It stops being you're a god character. And the game is more about slipping past Covenant. And because you're human and you're not going to be able to take on three brutes and a bunch of grunts. You're going to die. So... I don't know, that's probably not selling it on you guys.
Well, no, but they made it a whole lot easier to die, and you had to do a lot more sneaking. And then there was this whole, like, detective side of it, too, right? Because you were trying to figure out what was happening with your other dudes that you couldn't find, so...
Yeah, you basically, at the very start, you're in these pods, and you fall to Earth, and you're the last one to wake up. You basically wake up, I think, 6 hours after everybody else, and you kind of fall out of your pod, and your mission is to regroup with your buddies. And you go from clue to clue... searching through, so the overarching mission is you getting through the city without dying and getting to these clues and eventually finding out where all your buddies are. And it's just different from a Halo game because you have an open world map. Like, Jocelyn, this is right for you. Like, there's a map and there's like a easy button like that says, show me where I need to go.
Hey, whoa, I don't need an easy button.
You complain about getting lost constantly. You push up on your on the D-pad and it's like, boom, that's where you need to go. So, I'm sorry.
Okay, no, okay, there is a difference between wanting a map, between wanting to press select and just see where I am in the ship that looks like one room copied over and over and over again. Right. Like, that's not an easy button. That's just navigation.
Terpster, what do you think? Is it an easy button?
Careful.
Sorry.
It is not an easy button. It is a necessity. It is for navigation, mm-hmm. and it is used by people of all skill levels. So
it's the future, right? This comes from the guy who called her a noob in the first section.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm comfortable with that. I'm a little bit, you know. Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. No, screw it. That's fine. You're a noob, but yeah. Okay.
So I can't remember. In Reach, is there a map?
Yeah, there's a map in Reach. Yeah.
Oh well, there you go, Jocelyn. You'll have a map.
Reach is awesome.
Yeah, Reach is great. And Reach is really an expansion on ODST in the sense that it's another story focusing on multiple characters. They aren't humans. You're back to playing Spartans.
Spartans, yeah.
Yeah. So this is really tough. Do you guys know anything about ODST?
No, I do. I did read up on it. Did my research. But I'm actually really glad that I didn't play the game because looking at everything that I saw, like the gameplay looks, you know, pretty similar. It's Halo, right? Yeah. So, but having only a 6-hour campaign and then with all the multiplayer stuff as well, it's just, I don't know. The multiplayer stuff is everything that was already included in Halo 3, correct?
Yeah.
So there was 2 new maps or something, but, and yet a huge price tag. Like, it was, I don't know.
Well, yeah, right
I'm
now.
I'm glad I didn't play it.
If you were to pick it up now, you could probably get it, I would hope, $30 or less. Because basically, right now, you're buying.
I saw it for around $25.
Well, it's worth it for $25 because the campaign is actually really neat. Even though it's short, it does have its cool story beats, and the dialogue is great. Obviously, you're getting great performances out of these actors, and Nolan North is in it as well. I forgot to mention.
He's in everything.
Yeah, well, yeah. but this is before he was in everything. Like he plays the black dude. Actually, it's a neat change of pace having seen him play.
Does he sound like Nathan Drake doing it though? That would be a bit off-putting.
It sounds like a deeper voice, Nathan Drake.
Oh, cool.
I'm not going to do an impression because it was already bad enough saying the black dude.
I think you should just in for a penny, in for a pound. Just go for it.
I guess you're right. I can't do it. It's too late.
Okay, that's
too much pressure.
You've missed the moment.
It's because you're here too.
I'm super nervous. If you can't tell,
that's what it is.
Yeah, but
you said on here, you say like, you know, kind of graphics wise on par with Halo 3 because they did even do work to the engine though, didn't they? Like apparently they made it look a little bit nicer though. Isn't it meant to look slightly nicer than Halo 3, or is it the same?
I'd say it's almost on par, but there is some added changes to it because when you're in the open world map, you're in a dark city infested with Covenant. So there's this visor mode that you put on, and it basically outlines all the objects in the world, and that's kind of neat. It's sort of like detective mode in Arkham City.
Cool.
So they did add that. That's new to the whole Halo 3 engine. But yeah, in terms of graphics, they did some work on the face tech. I think the faces look a lot better, which is kind of needed in the sense that
they actually see the faces a lot more. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, having played Reach, you know that those guys take their helmets off all the time.
All the time.
Look at my face.
Yeah. Oh, we're humans, but we're giants. Ah. I am Kat. I have robot arm, and it's like, yeah, I like it. It's all good.
Yeah.
There's some good characters in it. Reach was fun. There were a load of jetpacks, which people didn't necessarily like. But past that, it was really good. I played Halo 4 at a couple of gaming conventions recently.
What?
Just like the multiplayer bits, and it's beautiful. And the new weapons are just they've got they're so cool. and they're all kind of, I guess they're Forerunner based. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was amazing. But at E3, I was at the Microsoft press conference, and I got to see the big launch announcement e-trailer thing they showed there. And that was crazy. That was, you know, just, we were in this big kind of conference hall-y arena type thing, and they just turned the bass up to maximum. And it was just insane. And, like, you know, they had this cool little kind of live action-y bit beforehand, and they're showing the new ship and saying, like, yeah, humanity's back out there, yay. And then the first time they go out there, like, oh, nuts, we've done it again.
We found some aliens.
And then before you know it, the chief's there, and he's all like, yeah, Beck and Judy, yeah. And it was just, then they start shooting up these guys, and it was just like, I can't wait to play it.
It's the chief.
I cannot wait to get back. But at Halo 3, it was all about finishing the fight. Right. Now I want to finish the fight again. That's what I think it should be. It'd be like, no, really, this time we're going to finish it over another three games, but we're going to finish the fight again.
Well, this it's finished the fight part two. Like, it's a whole new fight.
The fightening. Yeah, I like it. It's
the fightening, yeah. I have a question. Did you ever think that we would get another Master Chief Halo game? Like, besides, like, a prequel?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
No, well, just purely because of how they finished three with the whole, you know, he's there and Cortana's like, oh, I'll put you in status. Then it's then she's obviously degrading, and that's going to be a big feature of this, is like the whole AI brain thing.
Rampancy,
you know, she's reached the end of her lifespan. But yeah, and then they basically showed the planet at the end of Halo 3, you know, when you finished it on, what was it, Legendary or whatever it's called. And they show, you know, and you're like, oh, there's someone there. And people were saying, like, is it going to be, are they returning to, are they going to be, you know, is this leading to a different franchise? Something like that. But I always hoped that we'd fire up the chief again. You know, put him in status seemed like we could use him.
Yeah, and and I know it's tough to explain. Like, with ODST, I don't think you guys need to play it in order to appreciate Halo 4 or any of the other Halo games for that matter. But it is just another Halo game besides the overworld section where you're kind of sneaking around Covenant, because when you find clues, it teleports you into a different character and you witness what he experienced.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of like a detective story in the sense that you're finding these clues and then you're witnessing what happens, and that leads you to the next clue. So you find out, oh, they went to this building, so now I got to go there. And it's a very lonely game, unless you're playing co-op where they like sub in two characters for no reason. You probably don't need to play it, but just for the Nathan Fillion. I mean, if you're a fan of Nathan Fillion.
I didn't know that he was a voice, so I was just like, when you started talking about Firefly references and all these other voice actors, I was like, what, huh? Okay, yeah, I have to go get this game now.
Hold on a second.
Hang on.
I explained that, didn't I? Like, weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't always listen when you talk, Ryan, so sorry.
That's what happens.
She zones out. Just quickly, another a different thing about this game is the music was very different from the other titles. So, Terpster, you probably know the music from the other titles were the big monk chanting. And I was kind of hoping.
I do it any time I get into a really echoey place. That's the best way to test an echo.
Right.
It's just blast out
the Halo music.
And it is. No, seriously. It is. It's the way to test acoustics of any place you go. So it's good.
He knows his stuff.
I'm a musician.
Are you gonna whip out the guitar again?
Yeah, I heard you played guitar.
I can't. You can't put me on the spot, but I will. I'll do a little bit.
There we go.
I won't. It's fine.
But I have a little clip here, and you'll be able to hear like the difference in the music. It's more jazzy and kind of depressing, really.
Jazzy? Oh, can we do jazz hands?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, yeah. See that? It's jazzy. Anyways, so that sort of plays...
quite sad and bluesy. It's quite,
So that plays
It reminds me of L.A. Noire, actually.
Exactly, and that's what they were going for, sort of a noir story. And when
detective,
you're... and you're like, what's going on? I don't know. But you don't actually do
Turns out I was the killer all along.
Yeah, you killed.
Investigated
myself. How many video games are they putting you in here, man? Like,
That's what happens.
Oh, him specifically, not
me. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But that music is actually playing in the background while you're sort of, it's depressing because you're like the only human left in the city and you're trying to survive. So, but yeah, if Nathan Fillion doesn't get you want to play it, you probably, it's a good game. It's, some say it's one of the better in the series, considering it's a little more different than just the mission to mission. I don't know. Cool. You guys sound convinced, so I'll stop talking.
I'm excited about 4. I want to play 4. And,
I was going to say, like, what are you most excited? What are you most excited about, both of you, about just Halo 4? Because I know I've...
Story. Just instantly. That's it. I just need to get in and find out more story. I need to play through the single player. I don't even care about the multiplayer, really. I will once I finish the single player. Mm-hmm. But that's what I need to just get in and do.
Yes. Now, did you order the Collector's Edition, Terpster?
I have yet to, no. What, have you done it? Is that what you've gone for?
Yeah, I'm going... I have all the collector's editions for the Halo games. Like I even started with the 2-disc steel set for Halo 2. So
that's what I got. I got that one, and I got the 3, the one with the helmet. Mm-hmm. But then I didn't bother for Reach. I was umming and ahhing. Do I get the big statuette thing? And I didn't.
You always regretted it.
No, not really. I mean, you can still buy it now, the Legendary Edition for Reach.
They made so many of those.
It wasn't that rare. So I don't know. With Halo 4. I mean, what is the collector's edition? What's it look
well,
like?
Well, it's more about the content. They haven't included this. Like, I have my Reach statue over here, and it's great. And I don't actually have enough more room for a statue. But with Halo 4, it's just basically more content. You're getting, I think, an art book, a DVD with like videos and stuff. You're getting the full Forward Onto Dawn video, so you can watch it in high def, or well, at least on your TV, and. You're getting some downloadable content. You're basically getting the season pass for all the maps. So that's if you're
Good. That's definitely. No, that is good.
Yeah.
Because what's that normally like, $30 or I'm not sure how much.
It would be like $30 and I mean, considering I don't normally buy multiplayer content, this will be a great way for me to just buy like have the maps.
Keep up with it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's cool.
And really, like, you're getting also some multiplayer perk stuff, like specializations or something. There's some weird things going on with multiplayer, but it's mostly additional downloadable content and those videos and documentaries and stuff, which I'm always a huge fan of, so.
I'm excited about that. I might do. I'm not sure. I might look into it. I think I've found it. Is this just a steel box thing with a kind of bigger... That looks classy, actually. I like this.
Yeah, Halo it looks really nice. Edition. It's like it'll be about, well, I don't know how much it would be over there, but here it's, I think the regular edition would be 60, and then you go to about 100 for the limited edition.
Okay.
It's $99.99 at EB.
Sorry.
That's not bad.
$99.99. Yeah, so that one
what's cent.
Makes
1 cent. Yeah, exactly. Well, I was thinking, I can't afford. Oh, hang on. $99.99. Wow, well, I can. Yes, I will take 2, please. Yes.
Well, in Canada, we don't have pennies anymore, so it does make a difference.
Oh, there you go.
It's even worse now. So technically, you are going to be spending costs. 100.
Yeah, yes. They're just not going to give you the penny. That bastards.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
So is there anything else we want to talk about Halo before we move on to our listener feedback? Any final points, guys?
I love Cortana in a way that I shouldn't.
Oh, my God. The way Cortana looks is just the evolution of the character just gets more...
She ages well. It's ironic, again, because she's dying, but I like the way she dies. So I'm saying that.
Rampancy is a beautiful thing, we'll say.
I would like to get rampant with Cortana. Yes. She is a beautiful AI.
It's weird to me that they're making the AI look more supermodel-y as the game progresses. Like the first one, obviously the limitations of the engine, and then the third one, you know, you're starting to get a little more, and then I think in Reach you briefly see
maybe her, that's what happens though. Maybe it's a case that basically as she's aging, all her clothes start to fall off. And you know, it's a sad time in any AI's life, but not for the Chief. That's what he's got
the Chief
plumbed into his head. He's loving it. He's loving
it. I suppose.
On that note, we have a couple of emails this week. First, actually, what I'm going to do is give away a pet that we got sent to us by one of our listeners. So is the Pandarian Monk pet. So I am going to throw the code into the chat room, and first one to redeem wins. Boom, chat room. There you go. Have fun
I'm
with your
writing one here now as well. Oh, no, I pressed the wrong button. Hang on, 3-3. I might be a while. I'm just hoping
okay.
That. 6-1.
The Terpster apparently also has a pet to give away. So
there we go.
redeem.
Landrose Lichling. So I'll write that out. Landrose Lichling. There you go.
Oh, he's putting it in the show notes.
About that one. It's that
all right,
one there.
Ryan, ooh. Ryan, you can throw that one in the chat room. There's a.
So they can have that.
Shot
and they
got to
go to wowtcg.com/loot. And then you can type that in, I think. I'll double check that number. That might be wrong. 8, 9. Oh, no, it is wrong. I've looked at that 8. That's at least one thing. Hang on. I'm just going through 2, 9. Yep. 0, 8, 8.
All right. So, well, terms for doing that. We actually had some email entries.
4, 5, 4.
He's actually going to read it out loud.
3. Yeah. No, it's there. That's it now. That's right, the one. Right. I missed that 8. Sorry, people. That should be right now. And if it's not, just send me a tweet.
All right, so we had a couple pets that we just gave away to the chat room, which is kind of painful. And we have 2 emails this week. The first one was an entry into our... We're actually giving away 2 copies of WoW today.
Nice.
So the first copy goes to Ben, and his email says, I listen to your show every week. What's this email about WoW thing again? I don't remember what I'm supposed to do. LOL. Very funny, Ben. Anyways, he's a big fan of the show and looking forward to many more episodes from you. So our winners of WoW are actually Ben and Val, whose email we read last week. So I will email the codes to both of you, and that is a copy of WoW, Burning Crusade, Lich King, and Cataclysm. So enjoy.
Nice.
Our second email comes from Joel Duggan.
I know Joel.
I know Joel as well.
Who is this Joel you speak
to? Do you, though? Do you?
I like to think so. And biblically. He says, hi, Gamerson. I know that Terpster is steeped in World of Warcraft lore. I didn't have time to play the RTS games that came before World of Warcraft. I was wondering what advice he would give a WoW lore noob as far as reading goes. Where should I start with regards to the novels? Prefers the novels. Or comics, or maybe graphic novels. Game on, from Jay.
Good. I like it. I think the best novel to start on is Arthas by Christy Golding. She writes better than Knack. Knack's very good, but basically it's her and Richard Knack are the two main authors. Arthas is a fantastic story, and you would have played through Wrath of the Lich King already, and you'll know a lot about the Lich King. But Arthas kind of sets the story beforehand. It kind of touches on Thrall's beginnings and Jaina and how that all interrelates. And I think that's a great one to start on. In terms of like the comic series is quite good, but doesn't really hold too much for the current game. The graphic novels, if you read through the Sunwell trilogy, that's really, really, really good as well. And that would be kind of more in line with what happened during Burning Crusade towards the end of it as well. But yeah, Arthas all the way.
I remember the Sunwell, and I have no idea what happens. Every Blood Elf I ever talk to ends the conversation
with the Sunwell.
And I'm like, okay.
You're like, okay, I'll put that up here for later. I'm going to go shoot some things with a bow and arrow.
Exactly.
It's just an arcane fountain of energy. It's no big deal.
No big deal? Cool.
No big deal. Yeah, it's cool.
In terms of the books, now you mentioned the Arthas book. Do you think it's important to start with, like, just learn the Arthas story? Because I think that's the most important when it comes to WoW. But what about, like, the Dark Portal in Warcraft 2? Like, there are novels
there's the War of the Ancients trilogy, and there's, like, Dare the Dragon, and they did a new one, Night of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of ones that kind of talk about the aspects and Azeroth's kind of how the Night Elves came to be and what the aspects do and Deathwing and all these other things. To be honest with you, I think they're all really interesting, but I think the one that's the kind of most fun to read is Arthas, and that'll kind of get you in. And then there's also the Sundering, or the Shattering. I think it's the Sundering, which is another Christy Golding one. It's the Shattering, is it? There you go.
So.
Yeah, and that one's pretty good, and it kind of sets the stage for Garrosh and who he is and what he's done, which potentially will make you appreciate what happens in Mists a little bit more as well. But I don't know. I really like Arthas. I think it's the best one they've done.
Yeah. And I mean, there's always tons of characters to learn about in WoW. And what I've been doing, cause I've been out of it for a few years, is I just have WoW Wiki running in the background. So if there's ever a character that's referenced that I don't know who it is, like this Agra chick, I'm just like Agra. And it's like, okay, that's who she is.
She's a shaman from the Outlands who Thrall gets it on with.
Yeah.
And he's going to make some sweet little brown orc babies. Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
We all look forward to that.
I do. Because it means then Jaina knows Thrall's out of the picture. And who's Jaina going to come to? She's going to come to me.
Of course. Terpster, and I will console in another
her.
Game.
I will console her, and we will have beautiful Terpster Jaina babies.
You'll use your shield to protect her.
To catch her tears. Yes. And I would say, cheer up, my sweet ice mage. Do not panic, for the tea is here. And then I will pop my retaliation. And every...
Okay.
No, I don't know.
I was like, I don't want to know. We don't need to know what you're going to pop there, T.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. I'm on my shaman at the moment, so I'm not sure what I could do. I could chain lightning her. That wouldn't really
work. Is there a totem joke in there somewhere, I think?
Maybe. I've got a tremor totem that there could be quite
go.
Fun.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah.
Just
she enjoys that when I'm not there. She just I just leave that with her. Anyway, so,
right,
yeah,
that got awkward fast.
Yeah, it's very fast. Very fast. I have a little bit of a fixation on her, so that's okay.
A little.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't have a poster behind you ever.
She is over there.
I think that's pretty much the end of our show. I think that's a good spot to just stop there. So Terpster, what do you want to plug before we go? What are you on? What's going on podcasting-wise?
Stuff. So yeah, I'm on The Instance. So if you like World of Warcraft and you want to hear more about that every week, tune into The Instance at theinstance.net. Otherwise, follow me on Twitter at the_T. And I will normally tweet when I'm doing something. So that's the easiest way.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks for having me. It's been great fun.
Blast.
Thank you. No, it's been really good fun. Thank you.
So you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com, where you can find our live feed, our live chat, and our forums. You can also email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com, or you can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. You can find Ryan at RMurphy, and you can find the show at The Gamers Inn. So you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheGamersInn, and we're also on Google+, which you know if you are watching us live on our Hangout on Air. You can also, don't forget to give us an iTunes review, as that's the best way for our podcast to reach new listeners. So before we go, I just wanted to give a quick thank you to my brother Greg, who created our intro music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCross Online, who drew our Twitter avatars and created our logo. You can find him online at Joel Duggan or read his comic at StarCrossOnline.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and tune in next week.
Bye-bye.
Let's all just wait for a minute. There we go.
Just reading now, where should I start? Because, okay. Don't know. Okay, cool. Groovy.
And then hopefully it doesn't explode.
Oh, now that you said that, it's totally going to explode.
No. Now we're prepared.